This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
And he says he's not trying to invent something new.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give reflect the common mind. Right, the sentiment of the time in doing this.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. This is a special Independence Day edition of the program. You just heard briefly from Dr. Matt Spaulding from Hillsdale in D.C. He'll join us again in a moment to talk about Thomas Jefferson's influence and how he helped shape the Declaration. And later on in today's program, Robert R. Riley with the defense of the founding and his book, America on Trial. First, Dr. Spaulding is Vice President of Washington Operations and Dean of the Van Andel Graduate School of Government at Hillsdale in D.C. We talked at length with Dr. Spaulding about Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence. Dr. Spaulding, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Scott.
And thanks for hosting me today as I visit in Washington at the Kirby Center, the Boyle Radio Studio here, a magnificent layout. It's always a pleasure to be here in Washington and to talk. We've talked previously on the program about the Declaration of Independence. I wanted to spend some time today speaking specifically about Thomas Jefferson and his contributions, large as they are, to the Declaration. When we think of the Declaration of Independence, we know Congress appointed a committee. So how did the Declaration chiefly then become the work of one Thomas Jefferson?
that's actually a great question. The history leading up to this moment, I think, if I can make just one step backwards, is very important. If you recall what gives rise to the American Revolution or all these various things the British are doing after the end of the French and Indian War, so that decade preceding it, they're raising taxes, they start enforcing their laws, they eventually are housing troops. So this has been building up. The colonies start agitating, and they eventually call a Continental Congress. There are two Continental Congresses, the first in 1774-75, and then the second comes back again in 1775-1776. And from the beginning, there's a divide and a debate. One of the things we want to study when we study this is this really this debate. How do we reconcile with the British and others who early on? Well, how do we start an independent nation? It gets to a point, especially after you get the outbreak of hostilities in April of 1775, Lexington and Concord. If you recall, the British send troops out from Boston to find these rebel rousers who are supposedly collecting weapons. It gets to a point where we're going to need to kind of take the ultimate position, which is to declare independence. That crucial moment becomes when Virginia in June of 1776, we've now kind of been developing almost for a year now after Lexington Concord. This is just getting worse and worse. They've appealed, make their final appeals, and finally Richard Henry Lee of Virginia moves introduces his motion for independence. Well, at that point, they really knew that's where things were going to go. That motion triggered a number of things. One was to write a Declaration of Independence, which we'll come back to. Another was to begin thinking about what a constitutional government might look like. Mm. This doesn't take off until a number of years later, eventually becomes the Articles of Confederation, which was kind of started out at the same time. And the third thing that motion calls for is developing a relationship with a foreign nation, which becomes our alliance with France. So they're doing the things one would have to do to get ready for independence, and among those, they create a committee to write a declaration. That committee is made up of John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, the three most famous, but also Roger Sherman of Connecticut and Robert Livingston of New York. Committee of five. Committees hardly ever work. the short story, and if you've ever seen the there's a great musical that came out in the 1970s called, I believe it was called 1776. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good. It's kind of just a 1970s version. But the short story is that Franklin, Adams, and Jefferson kind of took the lead. Franklin at this point is an older, eminent Greece. He's not really involved. Adams had proven himself to be a great writer, as John Thomas Jefferson had. They'd both written a lot of pamphlets. But John Adams annoys people. He's gruff, and he has been twisting arms to get this Declaration of Independence. He knows this, and in a great act of statesmanship, John Adams writes Jefferson and tells him to write it, because I annoy people, and you're from Virginia, and Virginia must take the lead on this. And so he tells Jefferson to write it. That's what causes him to be the main author.
So if Adams is perceived, and rightfully so, it appears to be a pain in the behind to many, what's the general perception of Jefferson at this time?
Well, I would add, Adams is a pain. But because he's a pain, his nickname actually is the Atlas of Independence, which is to say that he's the one that legislatively accomplished independence. He's the guy that got the legislation passed, as we say. He's a doer. He's a revolutionary. He's a mover and shaker in the Continental Congress. Jefferson, on the other hand, he's written some extremely eloquent things already. He's wrote the Virginia's instructions to the Continental Congress. He's written essays. He's written a number of things that have shown he's an eloquent writer. Beyond that, he's not quite as well known yet. He's not yet become, obviously, governor of Virginia, president, other great things he gets involved in. He's not yet gone over and done mm-hmm. his work as ambassador to France. He's a good writer. He's younger, a little bit younger than Adams. He's the youngest, I believe, of that whole committee. And so they wanted to give it to the young guy who's a great writer, who they could rely on to bat this out in pretty quick order. If you recall, the motion is in June. The declaration is written somewhat quickly over the course of the next several weeks. It's debated. One of the things that is important to look at in our history, if you want to try to understand these things, is the debate over the Declaration in the Continental Congress. They famously strike some things in it, including a reference to a condemnation of the slave trade, mm-hmm. which Jefferson wanted in there, but certain southern colonies wouldn't allow it. They also add some references to God, which is actually very significant, because the Declaration has several important references to God in it. So that debate is important. So this is all going on, so that backs us up a little bit more. And the declaration is actually passed, not on July 4th, but on July 2nd. And then it's signed on July 4th. So really, when you think about it and put this together, and I don't know how many words the declaration is, but it's a, writing shorter is actually is harder to write.
Yeah.
It's a pretty impressive accomplishment, given that we didn't have, photocopiers and computers and clip and pastes.
Right.
And it was a great accomplishment.
talking with Dr. Matthew Spaulding from Hillsdale in D.C. about Thomas Jefferson and his influence on the Declaration of Independence. While we have a moment, we want to say hello and welcome to our new radio affiliates for the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. In Ironton, Ohio, WIRO 106.7 FM. In Waverly, Ohio, WXZQ 100.1 FM. And in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, WTHQ 1030 AM and 94.1 FM. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. This, the special Independence Day edition. I'm Scott Bertram, more with Dr. Matthew Spaulding next on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes?
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram, talking with Dr. Matt Spaulding from Hillsdale, N.D.C. on this special Independence Day edition of the program about Thomas Jefferson, his influence, and how he helped shape the Declaration. Dr. Spaulding,
what do we know about how Jefferson approached this task? How did he see his role? And where did he draw influence? Where did he take instruction from? How did he do it?
Well, part of it, and another thing, important thing to recall here, is the extent to which the American founders, this was a really this unique generation of individuals who were extremely well-read, who were had not only read a lot of ideas of political thought and political philosophy. They knew their British history very well. They read each other, and this had been going on for at least a decade and a half. So they're intensely involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it was he's working off of that intensity of the conversation. He has before him, and he makes references in his own letters to writers. In one letter, he famously talks about Aristotle, Cicero, Locke, and Sidney, which is a reference to John Locke, Algernon Sidney. They were both two great writers of the Glorious Revolution. Cicero, the great Roman. Aristotle, the great classic, the great Greek. He talks about Aristotle, Cicero, Locke, Sidney, etc. But he refers to the great Republican writers. They understood these as great Republican. So they clearly have imbibed all of this. Jefferson is very familiar with all of these writings. He's read the pamphlets. He's read John Adams. He's read James Wilson, who's a great legal thinker of the time. So he's got this great amount of knowledge in his head that he's working with. And he says he's not trying to invent something new.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give reflect the common mind, right, the sentiment of the time in doing this. And he tries to condense that down. And I think it's fair to say that based on everything I've studied, my teachers have studied, just reading. I mean, it is an amazing condensation, especially that second paragraph begins, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," of the whole political theory of the American founding. It's quite impressive.
Dr. Matthew Spaulding with us talking about the Declaration of Independence and Thomas Jefferson's writing of the Declaration. Congress eventually approves. There are debates. There are things taken out, as you alluded to earlier. But in your mind, what makes the Declaration a Jeffersonian document? Do we see his specific fingerprints in places in the Declaration?
Well, I think we, let me answer it this way. I think in some ways we do see his fingerprints, turns of phrases, but I think in here I give, I want to give Jefferson a great amount of credit by saying this. When I alluded to earlier that, he writes a famous letter to Henry Lee in which he says, "The object of the Declaration was not to find new principles or new arguments never before thought of, not merely to say things which have never been said before, but to place before mankind the common sense of the subject in terms so plain and firm as to command their assent." I think that we do see Jefferson's fingerprints on it, but I think it's misleading to say it's just Jefferson's fingerprints. We see the fingerprints of that whole generation of thinkers, of this founding generation, with its roots back to those great thinkers before them, and in that sense, it is not only a beautiful written work in and of itself, and Thomas Jefferson gets credit for the words, but it is a beautiful condensation of what the founders themselves thought, the common mind.
Mm-hmm.
of the time, and I think he should also give be given credit for that. Too often, sometimes we in the debates about the Declaration and the broader debate about America, we might conclude that Jefferson wrote it, Jefferson read Locke, therefore it's Locke. Well, there's some Lockean influence there. There's some important Lockean influences there, but there's some other influences there as well. And so I think it's very important to really kind of understand it in this broader context.
You mentioned that Jefferson included a charge initially that the king had waged cruel war against human nature by introducing slavery and allowing slave trade into the American colonies. Congress debated, removed it. What did that debate look like? Was it ever particularly close to remaining in the final document?
It got to the Continental Congress, and they debated it, and they had a vote, and it was important. This is kind of one of those great what-if questions, but also a great prudential question. You're about to declare independence, which means war, against the strongest nation in the world. You need unanimity. South Carolina, and I think Georgia, if I'm remembering correctly, objected to a condemnation of the slave trade. Jefferson objected to them taking that out. But the Congress ultimately said, no, we've got to remove that. What they didn't remove, and what is clear from the debate, they did not remove a general statement that all men are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights. From the context of that debate, and from the context of what others, great thinkers later, like Lincoln or Martin Luther King, right, that was the dagger, if you will, at the heart of slavery. So as much as we might recognize that, well, there's this condemnation of slave trade, it was taken out. What does that mean? Well, I would have preferred it stayed in there. Jefferson wanted it to stay in there. The Constitution postponed the time at which we could abolish the slave trade. It turned out that he was president when the Constitution allowed the abolition of the slave trade, and Congress immediately abolished the slave trade, and he signed legislation with full federal authority to abolish slavery. So they got around to it.
Yeah.
But the more important thing that was in there was this statement that all men are created equal. Indeed, to come back to our general question, why is the Declaration of Independence important? Well, it's important because it declares independence as a practical matter. It begins this train of events. But the most important thing is it declares that principle which really drives American history. Lincoln later famously writes a great letter, which I can't quote in particular, so don't hold me to it, where he says, "All honor to Jefferson, the man who in a mere revolutionary document had the foresight to put there an abstract principle applicable to all men at all times." Right? That's why the Declaration is different. And that in turn is why American history is different. There's a principle there that then plays out in history, as opposed to it merely being a document that begins this revolution. It's not merely a historical document. It's actually a document in history of history that is a philosophical statement.
Dr. Matthew Spaulding, Vice President of Washington Operations and Dean of the Van Andel Graduate School of Government at Hillsdale in D.C., talking about Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration. Dr. Spaulding, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Great to be with you, Scott.
Up next, we talk with author Robert R. Riley about his book, A Defense of the Founding, called America on Trial. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
No pensé que fuera...
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy, Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th, with two matinees on July 20th and 27th, and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
We're back on this special Independence Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network for an enormous amount of content about America, the founding, and the Declaration. Podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you find your audio. We're joined now by Robert R. Riley. He's the author of America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, director of the Westminster Institute. In his 25 years of government service, served as special assistant to the president and as a director of the Voice of America, and also a senior advisor for information strategy to the Secretary of Defense, taught at National Defense University. You can also find his other books available at Amazon.com and elsewhere. And again, the new one is America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. Robert, thank you for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Hillsdale fans and those who listen to the show will recognize the name on the front of the book and the author of the foreword to America on Trial because it's written by our president, the president of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn. What is it you think about your writing in this book that attracted him to it?
Well, Larry and I were classmates in graduate school, and we both studied with Professor Harry Jaffa, whom many consider the greatest Lincoln scholar of the 20th century. And I think that Dr. Jaffa was one of the greatest proponents of natural law teaching in the United States as well. And his explication of the Declaration of Independence and other founding documents was absolutely profound. And he showed the links in the lineage of the ideas of the American founding going all the way back to Aristotle. So that was very precious. So Larry and I had that great gift from Professor Jeff and some of the other teachers there, and we had a great group of student colleagues as well, many of whom spent their careers in academia and others of us who wandered aimlessly through the government and other things. So I'm very grateful to Larry for having written the foreword. It's a very generous foreword, and I deeply appreciate the fact that he did that.
Let's talk about the title, Robert, America on Trial. Why do you consider America at this time to be on trial?
Well, I think everybody knows it's on trial. It couldn't be clearer in the streets of America, in the riots, marches, through the denunciations of the United States or of what preceded the United States, from the notorious 1619 Project,
mm-hmm.
that tries to define the United States as racist in its origins, because that's when the British first imported black slaves. So, but that attack from the left is very familiar. It's old. What was a bit disturbing was the attack on the American founding coming from the conservative Christian side of things. And that provoked my book in a way. I thought I had to address their critique of the founding to see if there was any merit to it and to offer a rebuttal. And just to put it very briefly, their thesis is the American founding was a poison pill with a time-release formula, and we're the victims. What was the poison? It was the radical notion of individual autonomy from the Enlightenment. Why wasn't there evidence of this earlier? Because the United States remained a profoundly Christian country, and as Christian faith has receded, now we see the true nature of the founding principles, from so-called homosexual marriage, abortion, breakup of the family, drugs, pornography, etc., etc. And oddly enough, the critics say these are taking place not despite the founding principles, but because of them.
And upon considering that thesis and looking at that argument, you find America not guilty, correct?
There's really no foundation for those charges when you look at what the founders said and did. There's no such term as individual autonomy that they use. In fact, what you find that term in the Supreme Court decisions of Justice Anthony Kennedy, when he decided there was a constitutional right to homosexual so-called marriage, individual autonomy. Just as he had earlier found the right of every individual to make up their own meaning of the universe. Another notion that would be alien to the founders, who thought the meaning of the universe was already there in the laws of nature and of nature's God. And you didn't get to make up the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Your obligation was to conform yourself to those transcendent, immutable truths. And that's why they articulated them in the Declaration of Independence as the foundation of our country. But this book is not simply a counter-argument. I asked the question, what made the American founding conceivable?
Mm-hmm.
What were the ideas without which it wouldn't have occurred? And what is the intellectual lineage of those ideas? From where did they come? And how were they developed? And we find in each instance that those ideas were revolutionary at the time. And I refer to Jewish revelation, most particularly in Genesis, that there is only one God, that he creates from nothing, and that all that he creates is good, and particularly good is this creature called man. And man is made in God's image and likeness. There was nothing in the surrounding cultures of the Middle East that in any way approximated these teachings from Jewish revelation. They were extraordinary.
Robert Riley with us, author of the book America on Trial. Robert, what about the Greek discovery of philosophy? What did that add into the mix?
That man could know things rather than just have opinions about them. That he could apprehend truths, universal truths, things that were true everywhere at all times for everyone. This most particularly in respect to what is just, what is good, what is bad. Man could apprehend the moral rules of life through the use of natural reason. And also, this even in the pre-Socratic philosophers like Heraclitus and Anaximander, there was speculation as to why is it that we can apprehend a rational order in the world? From mm-hmm. where did that rational order come?
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, which we know of, Heraclitus used the term, there must be behind this a divine intelligence putting it forth. And the word he used for the divine intelligence was logos, which is the Greek word for word or reason. So there's this divine reason which puts forth these features of order in nature and natural law and the moral laws that man's mind can apprehend. Revolutionary. This was overturned the tribal mentality that preceded it. So we've got two revolutions. And then Christianity arrives with the stunning revelation that this man, Jesus Christ, claims to be Logos himself. In other words, Logos is not just this divine intelligence behind the order of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person who then enters it. And he enters it with the providential purpose of restoring this fallen nature, of redeeming man, who now is not only made in the image and likeness of God, but who is, through God's mercy and infinite love, invited to actually participate in the divine nature of God. Stunning, beyond the imagination of ancient man, that his purpose was to share in God's divine nature, in a transcendent God, of which they had no notion either, that God was truly transcendent.
I'm Scott Bertram. That's Robert R. Riley talking about his book, America on Trial. We continue in a moment on this special Independence Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters.
not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help.
Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We continue our talk with author Robert R. Riley and his defense of the founding in his book, America on Trial. Robert, what is at stake in this trial, so to speak? Why is it so important to bring those points forward that you bring in this book and to make that argument?
Well, what's at stake is the loss of our republic, and I think that's evident in the denunciations of the American founding, the toppling of George Washington's statue and Jefferson Lincoln. It's a rejection of the principles of the American founding, and in light of which we will lose this republic. There's another reason why it's endangered that is evident from the condition of moral degeneration in which so much of the United States exists today. The founders were absolutely unanimous that the Republican form of government most particularly relied for its survival on the virtue of its citizenry. Without exception, the founders believed this, whether they were Christian or theist. They were overwhelmingly Christian, though mm-hmm. there were a few theists, like Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly he believed that, as did Jefferson. No virtue, no republic. And that a famous reference in George Washington's first inaugural address, he spoke of, quote, the indissoluble union of virtue and happiness, unquote. In other words, the end of government is the happiness of the people, and the Declaration speaks of these God-given inalienable rights, the last of which is the pursuit of happiness. People today think that means, like Justice Kennedy, you get to make up your own meaning of the world, and happiness is whatever makes you happy. That's not what it means. It means the pursuit of virtue. Now, when you have an educational system that has largely abandoned this teaching,
mm-hmm.
And supposes that that we can't really even make a distinction between virtue and vice, or between right and wrong, that is grounded in any transcendent, immutable truths.
Robert Riley with us, the book America on Trial. Robert, where did the founders come down on this?
The founders believed, of course, that the truths they articulated were transcendent, and that man's nature was immutable, and that these would always be true everywhere and at all times. Now, if you were taught, as we have been in universities for several generations, that truth is relative, that it's time-bound, that times change, and with them truths change, so there is no transcendent truth, there's no immutable truth, which is just another way of saying there is no truth, except that truth, that there's no truth. Well, that collapses the foundation of the American Republic. How does one order one's life if what they say is true? You order it by your own will and passions. And when you have a large group of people doing that, there's only one way they can be ruled, and that is by Leviathan, by Thomas Hobbes' Leviathan, by the absolute power of a state that keeps the citizenry in line. And the danger, of course, is the United States is morphing into a Leviathan state.
Robert Riley with us, again, author of America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. Your epilogue in the book, Robert, asks, if the founding was good, why did things go bad? What's your best explanation for that?
Well, we have touched upon that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
As I point out, historicism, the teaching that truths are a product of their time, and as times change, truths change. That was not a teaching native to the United States. It was imported from Germany. German higher education was sort of the gold standard for Americans in the 19th century. They would go to German universities to get their degrees. German professors would be invited to the United States to teach. And so this school of historicism became dominant and very influential here, and it progressed, or let's say it morphed into the progressivist school of thought, which teaches that man really isn't mutable. He can be changed and improved, and the administration of the state streamlined so long as the state has enormous executive powers. It'll be more efficient. Man's life will be more rationally arranged for his own good. But you do lose the republic. As, you know, President Wilson was a progressivist and enunciated this position very clearly when he was speaking to the Jefferson Club out in Los Angeles, I think it was. And he said, if you want to understand the Declaration of Independence, ignore the preamble. And that the problem with the American Constitution is that it disperses power and it prevents a strong executive from simply administering the state as efficiently as it should.
Robert Riley with us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Is there a need or a desire to explain the differences between the American and the French revolutions?
I'd say there's one thing. You know, I have a chapter in the book comparing the American and the French revolutions to make clear how different their respective principles were and the context in which they arose. And the one thing for sure in this Christian nation was a deep appreciation for the flawed nature of man, for original sin, for the need for repentance, for the hope for salvation in Christ, that you were incapable of self-perfection, though with God's grace you could strive to live a moral, good life. However, invariably, you would fall, you would fail, and therefore you would need this repentance and this forgiveness, which is why your life would be totally oriented to your Savior. This was colonial America.
Mm-hmm.
They did not look to the state as their Savior. The state had no business, had no salvific mission. The church did, not the state. So the state was necessarily limited by this conception of what a human being is. The state was not a vehicle for the self-perfection of man. Yes, it could improve the material circumstances of his life if done well, which then allows men with the means and the leisure to pursue the good life, but it wasn't, salvation was not its mission, and if it became its mission, politics would be distorted into some horrible thing. And we saw that in the French Revolution. There is a lineage to this. But there's a provenance to it that we ought to know. Most particularly, by the way, as an answer to those who say, oh, no, the United States is this radical enlightenment project, and therefore it's contaminated and irredeemable because of that. And in my book, I use two thinkers as models for the poison pill school of thought, who are, by the way, very good and right about most things, but I think wrong about the founding. And they are of this idea that it was fatally contaminated by the Enlightenment.
Robert R. Riley, author of America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. You can find it at Amazon.com, where fine books are sold. And Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with the foreword on America on Trial. Robert, thank you so much for taking time today and joining the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Great. A pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Matt Spaulding from Hillsdale in D.C. talking Thomas Jefferson, and Robert R. Riley, his book America on Trial. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Happy Independence Day! Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land, Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Wings of Summer, Butterflies at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, open now through August 10th.
Featuring hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil, enclosed garden within Turtle Bay's wildlife woods in Paul Bunyan's forest camp.
Release an emerging butterfly, feed them, and identify each species. Perfect for nature enthusiasts of all ages.
Wings of Summer Butterflies at Turtle Bay is presented by Lassen Canyon Nursery.
Now through August 10th.
Free for members, included with admission.
Discover this and more at turtlebay.org.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
No pensé que fuera...
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.